So, good morning. The homework may be over, but the learning never is. And I've loved how our lessons have woven together, because when you study one thing, it naturally ties in with another. And I hope you continue to see connections as you read and study. Today's passage is one we either love or hate. And there are many who take this section as qualities or qualifications for the perfect wife. However, this is not simply a passage that applies to married women with children. We know wisdom personified as a woman, the church as the bride of Christ. So how does this passage work for single women, childless women, or even men? I want to start at the end. I'm going to use the language of the passage even while I try to be inclusive in my points. And since we are all women, I'm going to use she or her, and it means all of you, whether you have children or whether you're married or not. So, looking at the end of this passage, what is her motivation? Is it because she strives to create a happy marriage with obedient children? Is she looking to amass great wealth or become recognized for her efforts? Let's read Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, when we began this study back in September, I actually was the one that taught about the clarification that the fear of the Lord, that term expresses a special nuance of reverential awe or worshipful respect. So this is different than being afraid. This is clearly the way this woman looks to her Lord in this passage, with reverence. Now, so what does someone, man, woman, or child, who reveres the Lord do? How do they live out that attitude? Now, I've printed out for you today the entire passage as your handout, and I want to encourage you to mark it up. You can put a box around the first thing I talk about and a circle around the second thing and underline the third and stars and exclamation marks, whatever you like. And if you really like to mark your Bible, go ahead and mark your Bible. But I gave this to you to follow along because we're basically going to stick right to this passage today. So no overhead. I mean, it's me, the queen of audiovisual, and I have nothing for you behind me today. That's just a switch. So that piece of paper that I handed you, or open your Bibles, whichever you're going to do. And let's start by taking a look at whom the others in the narrative are, both the mentioned and the implied. So start with your boxes or whatever you're going to do and circle verse 11 and verse 28, the husband. There's a husband in this passage that she's dealing with. Verse 13, shepherds, kind of implied, but she's looking for wool, so she's going to deal with shepherds. And verse 13, those who harvest and sell flax, because she's looking for that too. 14, there are merchants. In verse 15, 21, and 27, the word household is used. Now that could include her children and her male and female slaves. It can include many, but it's her household, the people that she is responsible for. In verse 15, they're maidens. Now these are probably her servants, the women that work for her and with her to get everything accomplished in their home. And verse 16 is implied neighbors. If she's going to buy a field, she's not going to buy it two counties over. It's going to be right nearby. And then continuing on with that same theme, vineyard workers. She's got to have somebody plant and care for her vineyard. Verse 20, the poor and also the needy. Then in verse 23, there's elders, because if her husband's sitting at the gate, they're going to know who she is. Then 24, there are tradesmen. And 28, her children. So you see the person who is living their life for the praise and honor of God will have an impact on others as well. Whether you're a quiet, private person, an outgoing, demonstrative one, or something in between, you're going to come in contact with others. How you interact with them will have an impact, for good or ill. You are, I am, Christ's ambassador. Whether you think you're very special or not of much consequence, you matter greatly to our Lord, and everything you do reflects on his lordship in your life. So do you have a husband, a child, a coworker, a neighbor? Do you know someone who is poor or needy? We all have connections we make during our week with others. We can hopefully exhibit the love of Christ in some way to these people. The praise in this passage of the excellent wife isn't simply for what she does, but because she is living in reverence of the Lord. So, next, let's look at what she's doing, what are her tasks, both for her family and for others. We start in verse 12. She's doing good. In verse 13, she's making garments of wool and flax. 14, she's looking for interesting food. I mean, that's kind of cool. verse 15, she starts early to prepare the food that her household needs. And 15 again, she's assigning the tasks to her maidens. And 16, she's looking for property to invest in, and she's also planting a vineyard. She's getting all that done, figuring it all out. 18 and 19, she works late into the night, spinning. And verse 20, helping the poor and the needy. She provides warm garments in verse 21. And 26, she's teaching others what she knows. 27, she's looking at her household's needs. And of course, verse 30, she fears the Lord. Now, this list can be summed up, with few exceptions, as a woman simply providing food and clothing as she manages her home. That makes it a lot simpler, doesn't it, when you look at it that way? This woman is basically providing the daily necessities for her family. Now, granted, buying a vineyard, planting a vineyard, seeking out materials to weave her own cloth and then make her own clothes isn't something we tend to do nowadays. It's much easier for us. But we all work to clothe and feed ourselves and our families. We all need to use our resources wisely, and we should be looking after those who God tells us to. The widow, the orphan, and the stranger. And the bottom line is, do we live in reverence to the Lord as we do these tasks? Because you see, our attitude and actions influence what others think of God. So let's see how she lives in community with others. Now, I'm going to first go through her actions and attitudes, and then I'm going to go through others' response to her. So I'm going to quickly go through this. I don't know if you're underlining or circling at this point, but keep going. Now, in verse 12, she does good again. That's her attitude and action as well. 13, she delights in the work of her hands. That's an attitude, isn't it? Delighting in the work. Verse 13 and 14, she has very varied interactions with vendors and workers. In 18 and 21, she's confident about her accomplishments, and she's not afraid. That's just something we all long for, to be confident and not fear what's coming up next. Verse 20, she cares for the needy and the poor. 25, she's smiling at the future. How nowadays we complain and we worry and we fret over the future. She's smiling. 26, she shares with wisdom and she says kind words. And she's not idle in verse 27. So those are some of her actions and her attitudes that we see in this passage. Now, as others respond to her, we see right at the beginning she's earned their trust in verse 11. Others are responding to her in verse 13 and 14 as she's buying and selling property and goods and food. And then again, she's working with her household on tasks in verse 15. And then kind of an implied, her work is noted by her family and those who know them. This woman, if she's buying fields and working with merchants and out in the market and doing this and that, other people are going to see who she is and how she is relating the words of kindness and earning their trust. Verse 25, her strength and dignity is known. Her 27, her household is looked after. 28, blessed by her children and praised by her husband. And in the very last verse, 31, she's praised in the gates. So looking at this generates a glimpse of an ideal life, and I think that's why it discourages many of us who read it. Because our life isn't ideal. We know it doesn't always work when our kindness doesn't have kindness returned to us. When our investments don't have high returns. When our efforts don't always succeed. We have a life that's full of things that aren't working out perfectly for us. But however, rather than using this passage's list of things we must be or do to become excellent, it should be used as a guide for all women and men to become the best we can in order to show our reverence for the Lord. I also want to lament a little bit on the propensity for our fallen nature to look at a passage like this, or read other Bible stories or Proverbs or whatever, and compare them to us. Sometimes we beat ourselves up. I could never be like them. I'm too timid, or too uneducated, or too unskilled, too poor. We immediately cut off any lesson we might learn by claiming it couldn't possibly apply to us because we do not measure up. Other times, we puff ourselves up. Well, I would never do that or think that, or I already have that figured out. And our overconfidence also cuts off any lessons we may learn as we read and stories and narratives meant to help us grow in our understanding of God's word and how we are to live as his children. Ladies, I know you've heard this before, but when you're reading your Bible, sitting at church, listening to someone teach on the radio or TV, your first thought should be, oh God, what would you have me learn from this? Open our hearts and our minds to what you can learn rather than closing it down from beating yourself up or puffing yourself up. Darlene Ferris has a presentation she's given called The Comparison Trap, and it's just that, a trap. We close ourselves off to what God wants for us when we compare who we are or what we do or even what we have with others. So that's also blocking us when we compare ourselves with someone else. Oh, they have this or they do that or they're so much more talented than I and I don't have that talent. She has all these talents or whatever. We're blocking ourselves from what God wants us to do and grow. Now, I'd like us to practice opening our hearts to hearing God's voice by praying some of this proverb together. And you can do this with any passage of scripture that you read. You can either follow along in your Bibles or close your eyes and just listen, or you can write down thoughts. This is where you can put your stars and your exclamation points. As I read the passage, and then I'm going to pray. So I'm going to do it in little bits. I'm going to read a couple verses, and then I'm going to pray a couple verses. So this is what we'll do right now, and you can follow along with your sheet or in your Bibles or just close your eyes. An excellent wife Who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. O Lord, may I find my worth in you. May I excel in my service for you and be found faithful as I obey your words. Help me to do good in my interactions with others. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Thank you, Lord, for the tasks you have given me to do. Help my attitude to reflect you. And even if the work I do is difficult, may it bring me delight as I dedicate each task to your glory. Help me expand my reach beyond what I already have and seek new ways to serve you. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Lord, help me as I rise each day to meet the needs of those under my care. Help me delegate tasks in a clear way so that any work may be done effectively. May I take the resources you have given me and use them to grow your kingdom purposes. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. Lord, give me health and strength each day to serve you. May I not falter in the purposes you have placed on my heart. Thank you for helping me complete the tasks at hand before my day ends. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. May my hands find work for my home, my church, and my community. May you show me who is in need and how I can help. May I not raise my hand in anger, but may I reach out to comfort, encourage, help, and provide for those around me. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. May I be prepared for hardship and assist others in doing so as well. When I can meet a need with a kind word, assistance, or use my talents, may I readily respond and not hesitate to give. May all I do be a reflection on who I serve and words of acknowledgement be due to being your child. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. As I work to provide for myself, Lord, and those in my care, may I deal fairly with others and strive to do my best. I have confidence in you to walk with me through the challenges I may face in the days to come. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. When I speak, may I consider what impact my words will have on my hearers. I pray that I will build up and not tear down. Give me the stamina to complete my daily tasks and not shirk the ones I would rather not do. Her children raise up and bless her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Thank you, Lord, for the times my efforts are acknowledged and help me continue to serve, even when others do not see or do not comment on my work. Thank you for your great love for me and for the many blessings you have given me. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, She shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Lord, may my beauty be from within due to the strength poured into me through your Holy Spirit. Help me live a life in reverential awe for the many blessings in my life, and may all I say or do reflect you. Amen. Do you see how to take a verse and expand on it or explore its meaning for your own life? Not everything I said applies to you and your life situation, but you can explore this passage and pray your own prayer for understanding of what God wants you to know of him through it. The Psalms are also pretty easy to do this type of prayer with, but you can use any section of scripture, whether narrative or not. In our Bible study, we mostly teach the inductive way of Bible study, where you approach God's words with an open heart of what's on that day God wants you to learn. I guarantee if you read the same passage every year or every month or even every week, if you pray to God and ask him to open your heart to what you are to learn, the God's Spirit can teach you something different every time you read that passage. So he wants you to know new things of him. Inductive Bible study, for those of you who don't know the term, is simply asking, what does it say? What's the context of what does it mean? Or what's the context of what the people and the hearers heard? And what does it mean to me? Or how can I apply it to my life? So in closing this morning, I want to commend the work you have all put into this study. It's been a bit more than some of our past books, but the effort is always worth it. When we gather before the Lord and strengthen one another by sharing and praying for one another, your strong commitment and participation through the end of this study has been really excellent. So I know there are many demands on your life and your time, and we are really encouraged by the sharing and the interaction in your small groups. And that's it. Now,